see what y'all made me do.
It don't matter if I ain't on the page. You wanna tell me what you wanna, give it to you the way you wanna, show you how to throw and how to flip any phrase you want. You just keep your eye on me.
Welcome back to Deep Thoughts. Might just start doing two a day whenever I get a chance. My laptop's battery finally expired, and so I've ordered a replacement battery. Got the wrong one. Ordered another one that's the right one. Amazon said they shipped it to my door. Literally said someone signed for it, and it never showed up. And so I'm waiting for the other one today sometime. That'll let me be a little more mobile in my recording. Right now I have to start up the computer, shut it down, reconnect the power, all that stuff. As you can tell, today's topic is going to be about double standards. And, you know, I feel like we live in this pool of double standards in the world. And there was a meme that was created. It wasn't really a meme, but it was one of those internet, you know, pictures that I thought just hit the nail on the head so intensely. I can't stop thinking about it because I never thought about it. And once I thought about it, it really puts a hole in at least 3 out of 4 presidential elections, candidates in this election. And the meme was really simple. It said if you're against building a wall on the southern border and even the northern border of America to keep everybody out, if you think that's stupid, fine. Then you got to shut down the TSA. What is the charter of the TSA? The outward charter is a standard of, hey, we got to keep the bad guys out of our country from flying in on flights. Keep anybody with box cutters and nail clippers and too much shampoo from getting onto a plane. It has utterly and completely rationalized the groping of children by perverts, the groping and body cavity searches of females and males that are invalid, that are in wheelchairs, haven't stood up and walked for 10 years, violating all of their privacy and their dignity in public. And of course, there's a certain select group of uneducated individuals who can't find better jobs to do anything else, so they have to take these jobs, not that they want to, but because nobody seems to care about jobs leaving this country, except for one candidate, then we have this issue. But now, what's the difference of simply driving south from Canada or crawling across the desert floor in the southern border of America and being a criminal, being loaded with drugs, being loaded with explosives, being loaded with agendas in your brain to take out a particular country like America? Yeah, one candidate is, you know, been called a racist because he wants to build a wall. But all the other candidates support the TSA. Talk about violating the civil rights of American citizens. The TSA is 100% draconian, illegal occupancy of otherwise free areas of the United States of America. When you get onto a plane, and by the way, you know, still the law says that no airport has to take the TSA. They just do it because they get some sort of financial kickback for doing it. When I was in Hawaii, one of the most beautiful things was that they still had the old-fashioned door jam metal detector you could just walk through for almost all the areas. Very little TSA searching, very little TSA pat-downs. I don't believe they had the scanners for your body in Honolulu, at least the wing I left in. It was great. There wasn't the degrading process of taking off your shoes and your socks and, you know, putting everything into a, you know, a criminal container as if your computer is full of a bomb. But we have these double standards we live by to feel important, I guess. I've said it several times on the show, and I'm going to say it again because I think it is the fuel behind double standards, which is if you don't create a purpose for yourself in life that is your own sovereign purpose for existing, which I would recommend your purpose be creating things for others. Whether it be a great balanced ledger because you're an accountant, or you create the best song or the best book or whatever, the best website, the best blog, whatever. Creating something that is built from your base that makes it special. I'm hoping that Deep Thoughts is special to you because it is a piece of my intellect, good, bad, wise, ignorant, coming to you and filtering information through this perspective lens, which is me. But even if I didn't have deep thoughts, I've got a million careers that I use to make my purpose known. You know, I got an episode and it's barely watched. It's called Expressing Yourself, and it sounds a little hippie, but what it's about is the fact that we all have to do it. We all have to express ourselves. And if you do not take control of when, where, and how you express yourself, how you purge out of your system thoughts and artistic visions of the universe, philosophical or otherwise, they will come out in bad ways sometimes. Now, randomness can be great too. You bump into something you never thought you would do, but I don't think you're going to get to random acts of success, serendipity, unless you try things, which is what the Expressing Yourself episode is all about. It's not, I just think it's sad that it's not watched that much, because it's really where, you know, the tire meets the pavement and you start getting some traction and you start to enjoy life. We have double standards that ruin the world. On one side of the fence, as I've said several times the last few episodes, we believe that man is created equal through most religions on earth. No matter how different they are, they do believe that man is created equal. But at the same time, we subscribe to these notions that people are way above us. Politicians are way above us. Hell, celebrities are way above us. So people still believe that families that were able to call themselves the monarchs are more equal than us. You know, some police officers operate within the bounds of their charter, and others have really bad days and bad months and bad years. They have personal problems going on, and they simply pick the next victim that they pull over and dump all of their internal strife on this person. Sometimes people get killed. You know, from the mind-controlling episode, you have video games that teach kids to lust after shooting people. Television shows, movies, shoot, shoot, shoot. So sometimes a police officer uses restraint and realizes that the person coming at them really can't hurt them, even though they might have a weapon on them, like a knife or something. And they're able to subdue them. There was actually a pretty good video out of Florida. A bunch of cops in Florida were trying to stop a guy in a car, and he was trying to run him over, and they didn't unload their guns at him. They pulled him out of that damn car without anyone getting hurt, thank God, and they put him in jail. And now he has attempted murder charges for driving his car, which is a deadly weapon, at other humans. And I hope he cooks in jail, because he crossed that line. But now think about the fact that, let's just take America for example, we're predominantly a Christian-based country. If you have religion in your family in America, I have no idea what the percentages are, you are preaching equality between men, yet double-standardly preaching some men are over you, which is where you get violations of the Fourth Amendment, people eavesdropping on you. If any type of law enforcement or authority figure tries to push their way into your house without a warrant, like they did in Boston after the fake Boston bombing, it teaches you that you don't have rights, even though you do have rights on paper. They violated your rights. Should be a couple civil lawsuits by rich people. But they'll raid a ghetto neighborhood or a middle-class neighborhood that they know has no money to do such a thing, and they're just scot-free because you can't defend yourself. Cost too much. But now think about your average Christian in America preaching to you hell and damnation. That there's a bunch of sins you can accomplish in your life that will put you in hell. And you know, honestly, most Christians who are devout believe that if you're not baptized and take Jesus as your Savior, that you're going to hell. No matter how good you are, you go to hell. One, that puts that person over you in their own mind, creating a double standard against their own religion, that they're better than you. But the interesting thing is, if you crawl into the intellect of the person who's telling you that you're going to hell, and I used to have a cousin, she used to tell her father that if he had his one glass of wine a night, that he was going to hell, even though Jesus turned water into wine. Fucking double standards. Unbelievable, right? But this kid wanted to feel superior because she has absolutely well, she has very little education to begin with and never really achieved a purpose in her life before she started joining this church. And she became so obnoxious that the family pretty much said, yeah, we're not going to visit you so much until you calm the fuck down with your Christianity. But within the confines of religion, you have a situation where they make out of the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament, which most religions that aren't Buddhist or Hindu, they have an Old Testament that's, you know, it's all fiction-based, but has some pretty good ideas in it. The Ten Commandments say, you know, thou shalt not kill. And what's interesting about it is if you take any one of the wars that America is engaging in the Middle East or Eurasia, it's mostly Christian-based. Now, as I understand it, you're not allowed to teach any sort of religion in boot camp, but that used to be a big part of boot camp, which is why Gunny Sergeant in the movie Full Metal Jacket brings up Mother Mary, even though a guy he talks to doesn't believe in her, or says he doesn't believe in her. He actually got an accolade for it, got promoted for being honest with his drill sergeant. Religion is a big deal. Religion is the way that people rationalize killing other people. Now, we all know from humanity's history that eventually, if the world were to achieve world peace, there's usually a strand of human beings that are isolated, that are run by some tyrannical person who's bored with life and simply goes after other people and other people's possessions because they want a high. They want an adrenaline dump. They want a dopamine dump. And excitement of any flavor fuels pleasure for them. And this is where we get sort of the greedy causing world peace to never exist. What I find hard to believe from kids that are my age, the mid-40s and up especially, is that they seem to forget, well, here's a double standard that they say. They will recall and reminisce about how the late 70s and all of the 80s was essentially one of the best decades of their life. But they'll then say in the same sentence or in the same paragraph that we Christians are being tortured all over the world, you know, and that we have to go kill all these people that are being accused of it because that's what's going to make the world better. They don't anything about population density, geographical locations, the magnitude of these countries that they're trying to take over in their own mind. They have no idea. They couldn't find Afghanistan on a map. But they'll tell you the Arabs are bad, Muslims are bad. And yes, there are extreme factions that have been incubated over 40 years by our intelligence agencies, and they are a force that we need to be aware of, but they've been completely indoctrinated to be that way. And it doesn't mean because they were indoctrinated, we can wave a magic wand and unindoctrinate them. I'm hoping that a bullet through their head is not the only solution to getting them to wake up to the fact that they have been especially, but we have too, divide and conquered by their takeover, by their mental conditioning to develop these double standards, and that a Christian, as long as you tell them who to hate, they're completely good with killing. Completely good with violating one of the most basic Ten Commandments and basic common law commandments of mankind to mankind, which is, I don't want to die myself and I don't want to be killed. I mean, dying naturally is fine, but I don't want to be killed prematurely by someone else deciding when I should leave this planet, when my mortal coil should cease functioning in this plane of existence. And because I can feel that from my own sovereignty and my own will, I don't think anyone else should do it to me either. That's how that came about. We didn't need religion for that. We all know that we don't want to be killed. We're programmed to survive. But yet we have this double standard installed on us. Now, for those of you in the truth movement, you're aware of something else that we call double speak. political correctness, and I have a whole episode on thought police if you want to get into the sort of the genetics of the dangers of political correctness. Because it's gonna overlap a little bit with this episode, but I wanted to bring us back to sort of double standards that we're all aware of, right? I want to digress into the value of your surname before we go too far into this. When I was a kid, your surname meant something. And I'm not sure if it means anything anymore. And the reason I'm going to mention the surname thing is because I want to give you a mechanism by which you can develop some pride, figure out what your standards are, and live by them. Because we have to have hardcore rules for varying times of society. A peace society can have one set of standards, and a war society can have a different set of standards. Some of you watch Walking Dead, and you understand why it's a fantastic show. Most of my friends who don't get into Walking Dead, and I ask them about it, they go, oh, I just couldn't get into it. And I go, why? Oh, the zombie thing. Okay, so they're bent out of shape that the zombie franchises have gone, you know, to every corner of the world. All four corners of this world, right? And they're tired of seeing zombies on camera, and I don't blame them. But what you need to understand is that that show is not about zombies in the slightest. That show is about the transformation of society from a normal society where you can go down to the grocery store and buy food, get your gas, go on vacation, work a 9-to-5, to a feral nation, a feral body of humans trying to survive and dealing with sort of the worst of the worst, meaning the best of the best. And so you have a group of people that are well established before this zombie apocalypse happens, which we're not sure how it occurred. And they are trying to hang on to some humanity as they start this show. And, you know, step by step, people who would have never hurt a soul have to kill. And not just zombies, but they have to kill human beings. And for those of you who haven't seen the show, there's three questions they ask everyone who needs to join the main group that's the show. Now, they've got a new spinoff that I haven't seen. But they say, how many zombies have you killed? How many humans have you killed? And why? Those are the three questions, and I think they are utterly brilliant questions. I mean, hats off to the writers. I don't know if that came out of the comic book or if that came out of the TV writers, but whoever came up with those three questions, I would like to meet because they're ingenious. It forces a human being to get to the crux of why they may have violated the common law of mankind. I think the first question is, how many zombies have you killed? The answer to that is simply, how hard are you? How much have you seen the shit in this new world? How many zombies have you had to kill just to survive? Which, you know, if you say one, they're going to realize you just came out of some closet. If you say, I don't know, dozens and dozens and dozens, they realize you've been in the thick of it and you're now primed to potentially join their group. But then they know the last two questions will cut through the chase of your morality that you've been able to hang on to as you've lived in this post-apocalyptic world, which is, how many humans have you killed and why? And I think, you know, it gets at the utter systemic cause of double standards. If you kill somebody in this post-apocalyptic world, they know you've crossed the line of common law. You've crossed the line of something that for 99.9% of the population, they had never crossed before. And there's all kinds of growth and maturity / maturation in a character that has had to kill a human being when they never had before. And one of the women in the show, Carol, she starts out a battered wife, and she's got a couple kids and her husband, and he's a wife beater, and he just gets worse, and they finally take him out, or he's eaten, I think, at some point. And he got his ass beat because he was beating on Carol, and people saw it, and so they took him out and beat the shit out of him. I'll tell you a story about my hometown. there was a guy that, see, my hometown is, like I always say, it's 10,000 people. And so when something bad happened, everybody found out. And there was a guy who punched his girlfriend in some domestic violence thing. And as I have the story told to me by multiple people, his buddies heard about this and realized, we don't live by this standard in my little hometown of Chinook, Kansas. And it doesn't mean it doesn't happen every night or whatever. I don't know what the frequency is, but the only people I've ever known who've done it have paid some with their life by going to jail and dying shortly after getting out of prison for some reason. But one of my friends was rumored to have done this, or an acquaintance, I should say. Actually, my friend was his friend. But his buddies found out that he smacked his old lady and gave her a black eye. And she's a gorgeous girl. And, you know, again, every guy knows that a woman can push her buttons. And because we're the bigger dudes, you know, supposedly we go to our caveman instinct to get our way, and then some people unleash physically, right? Okay. But the story goes that three or four of his buddies invited him out to the country to drink beers. And there's all kinds of places out in the country that are famous, bonfire places and stuff. But as I understand it, they took him out to a fairly remote place, started drinking beers, and then started asking him questions about hitting this girl. And I guess, I don't know if he apologized or said he did wrong, but he didn't satisfy these guys at all. And they're his friends. And so they beat the living shit out of him out in the country. As one of my friends said, to the edge of his life, very specifically to the edge and pull back. And I don't know if they really know what the edge is, but I'm sure the dude was hurting for a while. I didn't see him for months after this. Then they got in the car and drove home, leaving him out in the woods to walk his ass home, to really get a moment to think about the standards that are our hometown. That we don't do this, that you don't do this, you don't cross that line for any reason whatsoever. If you got a guy friend and just like they said in Dirty Deeds, just get the hell out of the, just leave and go to your buddy's place, spend the night in your car, whatever. It's better than the alternative, right? But America used to have this fiber all through its guts. Just look at old movies made in the 30s and 40s. And tell me that guys don't seem goofy and positive. And just they exude morals. Like, you would never do certain things. You know, people make fun of maybe John Wayne movies or Andy Griffith episodes or all the other episodes that, you know, Leave It to Beaver, all these episodes that they said, well, no one lived like that. Well, we lived a lot more like that than we do today, for sure. Unfortunately, we have been exposed to very bad things in the universe. Movies that now show things that we would never allow to be shown in movies in the past. And, you know, you might say, well, that's reality, dude. Just, you're behind the times. There weren't a lot of movies before probably the late 60s, early 70s, where teenage girls went off on film and had a bunch of sex. You had a time that you're supposed to come back from a date. It doesn't mean that our parents and our grandparents didn't do every little base running they possibly could. And we know that teen pregnancies have always existed. But it was more selective back in the day, and now it's sort of a standard. If your kid can make it to 18 a virgin, well, she won. Even if it's the day after, the day of, she decides to go in. Hey, you did pretty good, right? But we have these crazy double standards which are pulling us apart. They're fueled by political correctness. They're fueled by extremist groups. And I did an episode that I don't know what happened to the audio, but something messed up on the show. But it was sort of about extremism, which instead of doing an episode on that separate, I'm going to just fold it into this episode because it has to do with how double standards grow. Like viruses. So political correctness gets its fuel from extremist views. What do I mean by that? Well, I have varying levels of friends and family members that over time we've talked about politically charged subjects. And they'll typically try to win the argument through an extremist position, an extremist generalization of the subject matter so that they can get their way. And it goes something like this. I was talking to a relative of mine, and I said, you know, I really don't like the demonization of words, because I think that if someone has something to say, we need to hear them say it the way they believe it, so they can also hear themselves say it and self-correct. And I think the subject of the word retard came up. I think the N-word came up. And, you know, I was just trying to make a small point that it's the intent of a word that really gives it its sin. I've said on an episode a long time ago, my family, we use the N-word for all of us. It was a clique in the family, right? Not all the family, but like one side of my family would never dream of using that word. The other family would definitely use it from time to time. But you know what the difference was? It was absolutely never, ever, ever used in the connotation of a racial comment. It was never pointed at a black person, ever. And we weren't behaving like black people trying to use it with ourselves. It was just this absolutely endearing word that we use for each other. It wasn't everything out of our mouth or anything like that, but if we hadn't seen each other in a couple days or whatever, I call my dad or whatever, we'd say it to each other, and it was endearing. My dad was one of the, my dad got the word from Richard Pryor because he worshipped Richard Pryor and made sure that I was raised on all of Richard's brilliance. And it sort of removed the meaning of it, and it definitely made sure that it was never used in any true context of the word. And it's not that I feel like we should start doing that again. But now the word is been reserved as a very negative word. I don't think a lot of people feel like they need to use it anymore. But it is very strange to me that the one race that demonizes it, which is the black race, obviously, has this weird double standard. You know, what was it? Tarantino writes all these movies, and he likes to have, you know, a balance between white and black in his films at a minimum. Usually has every other race too, but there's a big hoopla with Django, the movie, which has Samuel L. Jackson in it and Jamie Foxx, and I think they own this stuff. And it was really about the horrendous nature of slavery back in the day and sort of the minds of slave owners back in the day. And they use the word in context, and I guess they almost use it 200 times per Cat Williams. And Tarantino, I think, beautifully illustrated how screwed up these guys were inside and how tortured the average black man was being a slave, especially with the, there's a scene in the film where, you know, the owner, who's DiCaprio, has two of his largest male slaves fight in his house to the death. And it's horrendous. Your brain just can't fathom that this is going on, which is what Tarantino's good at, is utter darkness. And then the movie comes out and does extremely well, but there's a certain contingency of black folks that said, man, you know, Tarantino is a white guy and he's not allowed to use the N-word in his dialogue. And of course, the community divides fairly quickly. I don't know what the percentages were, but I remember seeing an interview with Cat Williams trying to say that, you know, if he ever sees Tarantino, he's going to smack him in the mouth. Because he doesn't have the card, the certification from the black race to use the N-word in his scripts. And the saddest thing was is that it really showed the suffering of the slaves in Django at a time that's really never been portrayed like that before in any film I've ever seen. You know, there's Roots. But if the word was used in history by men who would dare, you know, again, my old joke is that the N-word means lazy person. That's what it means. And to have a plantation owner sit on his patio or his porch and watch slaves do all the work and call them lazy with the N-word, it just blows my mind. Talk about a double standard, right? The lazy man calls the working man a slave, or like a lazy person, right? But I made this point with a family member of mine that, just like Malcolm X said, I'd rather hear someone who's a racist have the right to use the N-word and expose themselves than to have them bottle it up and join some crazy group that would go out and harm them. You might hate your Muslim invasion in Europe, but I'll tell you this much, they're at least telling you what their plan is. Full domination, full population replacement, cultural erasing of Europe. Everything in Europe is going to be erased in 50 years if you don't make a change. Because the double standard in Europe is that we're proud Europeans, but we're going to do everything in our power to erase ourselves. We're not going to screw that much. We're going to allow in folks that want to erase us. We're going to surrender our sovereignty to the European Union, which has done nothing but destroy Europe. There's not a single beneficial thing that's happened to Europeans since the EU. Even the poor countries are now bent over the barrel of the IMF, taking loans, Greece and Cyprus. But this family member of mine said, well, we can't just have everyone running around calling everybody the N-word, every black person an N-word. And I'm not sure I was actually making an argument about the N-word in this conversation, but that's how they work. They work into an, once you disagree with them, they go to this massive extreme as if they don't have a brain to think. This is ridiculous. What the assertion they're making is ridiculous, right? Of course, I'm not sitting here telling you that I want a bunch of white people to call black people the N-word. Of course not. But I tell you what, if I'm out and about and someone's a racist, I'd rather know. You can guess who I won't be hanging out with. You can guess who I won't go into LA with. Because they're going to say these words at the wrong time, and I'm with that guy. Maybe I'm using his limo to get to LA, and I'm screwed. I'm going to get beat to shit because of a friend who's an ignorant racist. But censorship is a slippery slope, right? We always say that political correctness is censorship by another word, right? And double standards help this exist. But America's Constitution and the big American flag and the cowboy emblem of Americans is actually a very interesting thing, because our forefathers who understood tyranny, which I've said many times on the show is not taught anymore in terms or ever been taught about why we formed this country. You know, freedom of religion is the standard lie they tell Americans about why America existed. Yeah, well, it was in there, but it wasn't the reason why. Invasion of privacy, taxation were the two biggest things, and that's the two biggest things coming at us with this presidential election. I sat in my smoke lounge last night, and the subject of the election came up, and they were playing some YouTube videos about it. And one of the guys was just saying, well, I think Hillary's going to win because she's got more experience running, and she just is going to, she's going to know how to manipulate the system better. And I said, well, you might be right. But I said, is that who you want? Because I don't know anybody who supports her anywhere. 500 friends on Facebook, I don't know anybody who says anything about this woman. It's all Bernie or Trump, right? And the guy looked at me, and it was almost like he'd never taken the thought further than this weird lie he's told himself, that a person should win because they have more experience running campaigns and being a politician. And when I asked the dude, I said, well, do you think America is on the right track right now? Do you think our job creation is on the right track? Do you think our education system's on the right track? And I think this guy's an educator. And he froze. He literally froze right in front of my face. And I could see him trying to make syllables into words to try and reply to me a very simple question. Because he knew I had him in a checkmate instantaneously when he said all this stupid shit about how someone should become president simply because they have more experience running in campaigns. He's living in a paradoxical double standard, of which he only has one side of the standard. Because instantaneously he knows that our jobs are being exported exponentially quickly. Ever since NAFTA, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is going to multiply that probably times 10. The education in America is horrible. We have parents that tell their kids that they will be nothing unless they get a college education. But the standard of the world is that some of the most wealthy, brilliant, innovative, inventive people on planet Earth don't have degrees. And now there's only a handful of degrees that actually lead to jobs. Double standard. We want to pay for bad educations, and that's supposedly going to solve the problem. So kids don't come out of college with debt, not realizing that if that system were ever turned on, that the amount of taxes that they would be charged after they get out of college, well, those taxes are forever. So let's say you go into debt $100,000 as a student for a shitty education that isn't going to go anywhere. One of the standards is to say socialism should pick up the tab for that. All right. Well, I'm willing to bet that you could pay off a $100,000 loan within 10 years. If you got a degree that could go anywhere, which I understand if you don't have one that could go anywhere, that's the standard. But now, if you move it to a socialistic realm, that tax is going to be charged on you every year you're alive. So let's say you could get out of debt by the age of 30. All right, well, the socialistic tax bracket you're now in will continue until you die. Because education is so bad in this country, and we have something called Common Core that ensures that it's the worst degree you could possibly ever get, that you'll actually get to college with a subpar K through 12 education, your ability to declare a major that actually is employable is negligible. So the double standard that parents are charging their kids with is you have to get this worthless degree and get in debt, otherwise you'll be unemployable. When the college degree actually makes sure that you're unemployable, and that as you do amass any job that pays money, you're going to be paying back this loan or paying a socialistic tax. There's a double standard that came out of 9/11, which was beautifully exposed in an interview in London, as a matter of fact. Was they asked a woman who I believe was a waitress at a restaurant, you know, did you notice that there's 6 million cameras in London? This is probably about 2005. And she looks up at the cameras and she looks back down. And she goes, well, since 9/11, I'm willing to give up a little bit of liberty to gain freedom. They're the same thing almost. Liberty is freedom from government. Freedom is just freedom. It's what you're born with. That you deserve because you exist. And when you give up freedom from your government, you absolutely, positively give up your freedom as a human being. But this double standard, this double speak, this double think mechanism was installed with a crisis. So again, back to your surname. How do we police the world? How do we police ourselves? Which is really how you do it. I think we bring back the value of a surname. Surnames are interesting because they did morph as people moved from Europe to America, but I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter what your surname is. You can make up your surname. I don't care what you call it. You call yourself a number for all I care. As long as you're willing to install some standards that your family engages in that are honorable and comply with at least common law, which is don't steal from anybody, and don't kill anybody. Those are the two main things, right? Most of us will never be in a situation to kill anybody, but definitely stealing from someone can be very subtle. Cutting in line is stealing from somebody. You know, finding a wallet on a bench in public and taking the money out and leaving the wallet behind. Taking the wallet and not trying to find who owns it. It's really strange how it's funny. I've given out purses to the women that I've dated over the years, and it's amazing how many of them get stolen. Either the wallet in the purse itself, and it every time I ask the girl, well, how did it get stolen? She would typically forget it in a location for a split second, come back and it's gone, which means the very first person that finds the item is a thief. Or they looked away from their purse at a grocery store and someone reaches in and steals the wallet. Just the very first person has exposure to something is a thief. And so our standards aren't high enough in America because that's the way it is. And before you subconsciously think about it, these individuals lived in just very affluent areas. So it's rich people stealing rich people's stuff in most cases. When the whole truth movement started coming to me in droves in 2005 after seeing Loose Change, it's probably more 2006 for me, but I remember talking to some of my friends, and I would tell them about things in the world that were weird, and I was still figuring it all out, and I at least had two close friends of mine say, well, as long as I get mine, I'm okay. And it was an interesting lack of knowledge about basic sociology, you know, the study of groups of people. They thought if, you know, it doesn't matter how many other people get hurt, somehow the world's going to remain a good place as long as they get paid. Now, one of the hardest standards to try and gauge, and I recommend you think this through carefully, is trying to save the world. You know, you have to create, I mean, I've created this show because it's a way for me to vent ideas and concepts, whether they be, you know, skill trades like screenwriting or, hey, the world's run by bankers. Because it's a medium by which I can do this with you and I control it. I got time. I make one of these shows. I edit them together. I put them out. You see them. If you like the topic, you continue watching. If you don't, you click off. No big deal. See what you want to see. But in terms of trying to picket a sidewalk and try to wake people up, that's just not my style. I just don't think that, I don't know if that works. I don't know if that does more damage to whatever cause you're trying to do or if that works. This is my method. As long as YouTube exists, right? And freedom exists to the level it does in America, which is pretty good so far, right? There's a big worry about anyone getting into office and saying that concealed carry is a national right as opposed to a state-level interpretation of a right. Because the Second Amendment of the Constitution is extremely clear. It's not for hunting. Everybody hunted when that document was written. We want guns because we want to protect ourselves against the uprising of our government against the people, or in case rare cases of civil unrest, in case of a disaster like Katrina or some type of apocalyptic problem. In case the greedy come looking for stuff that's not theirs. And again, our standards can help each other get through these things. If I got more food and someone else doesn't, and they got some water and I don't have that, we can work together as human beings to be humane to each other. But there's a big worry that the crime would just explode in the United States of America if concealed carry was allowed. And I think I can agree with you that yes, there would be a time when all of these, overcharged teenage and 20-year-old males who are trying to prove themselves in front of the females, or even prove it to themselves because the rite of passage has never been granted to them. We've lost rite of passage in humanity, and that creates a lot of problems for people. They don't know when they become a man. You know, I think I've said it a long time ago, but I'll repeat it. I was raised with a dad who was, he had his own cowboy, you know, qualities to him, and he probably wouldn't do this the same, but he made the mistake first, which is that from probably about the age of 12 up to the point I lost my virginity, he would probably once a year say something like, I think I know, quoted it at least twice, saying, you're not a man yet. And he didn't, and he was talking about it in the realm of sex with a woman. You're not a man yet. He kept saying that to me. And it wasn't like I said, well, I'm going to prove you wrong and I'm going to go have sex with the first girl I meet. Yeah, I was smart enough not to do that. But I surprised him when I did lose my virginity that he pulled that line on me before I moved out of the house. And I looked at him and I said, well, I've probably been a man a couple more times than you know about. And of course, he knows my girlfriend. And so he's like, oh my God, really? And he all of a sudden freaked out. And he was super cool about it. He took me down to the drugstore and he showed me all this birth control he could get over the counter. And he goes, this doesn't work. This works. I'm going to get you these types of condoms, blah, blah, blah. And he loaded me up. So hats off to him for engaging it. But I probably started sooner due to that pressure, at least subconsciously. Now, you know, boys and girls, we just do things and, you can't stop us sometimes. So I'm not putting this all on him. But that was a weird thing that he did that got me in a different mode of thought that I don't think he really wanted to have happen as soon as it did. But I think that if we did start carrying weapons, I actually think that we shouldn't have global concealed carry. I think we should have global sidearm carrying. Just like the Wild West. You want to show up with the gun on your hip? At least we know you got one. I don't really want to be in a bar and not know who has weapons. I'd rather have them on their hips. But I tell you what, guys getting drunk, becoming belligerent, the bouncers are going to behave completely differently. Everyone around these guys who constantly get drunk and shit-faced and belligerent, and there's some women who do it too, they're going to stop hanging out with these people because they're a physical danger to everyone else. And again, you commit a crime with your gun and you show you're irresponsible, we just take it away from you for the rest of your life. Hey, like those apples. So we'd have to be wise. And, you know, a couple bad stories around the country and people are going to wise up just through sheer, I don't want to be in that other guy's shoes, right? Now, there's nothing stopping a, you know, a legal citizen from getting a gun in America right now. So I'm going to suggest that your crazies already have the guns. And background checks are just fine. You know, you got serious psychological issues. Yeah, I would kind of want to know. Maybe we don't give that guy, if he's got a chain of violent crimes without a gun, last thing I want him to have is a gun. But that depends on how much age and attrition this person has gone through. If he was like a little droogie in his teens and he went and joined the military and got his ass kicked and he got torn down and built back up to be a responsible soldier, I think we can expunge that record from 17 and below and let him rebuild himself as a human being, right? But the catchphrases fuel double standards like crazy. I don't hear it as much anymore, but I'm sure it's still said, which is everyone dies of cancer. I've heard that before. People think they're being so profound in their summation of the regimen of life in America. And they don't stop to think for a second that cancer is a man-made disease, something we can put a complete halt in. Getting out of GMO foods, out of all substitute foods like margarine and all the substitute sugars, cutting down on sugar consumption in general because the human body is not meant to consume as much sugar as we do, pure sugar. Remember, sugar inflames all of your organs. So imagine your body all swelled up inside and you're trying to be healthy. It doesn't work like that. Become obese. Strains everything in your internal organs. But whatever you accept as a standard in your life, you have to make sure you don't have any double standards against it. That when you bend the rules, you bend them very carefully. No one wants to lie to children, but we do because we have surprise birthday parties and we have holiday functions or we have fictitious characters that visit them in the night. And we bend the rules a little bit. And I'm not convinced that's good. And I've talked about it in previous episodes. There's an episode I did called Why We Believe. I believe that's the name of it. But I go through those, that issue of lying to your kids, potentially being a really bad thing for us. Teaching them that parents lie, subconsciously. It's never a happy day when you find out Santa Claus doesn't exist, and all the other things, Tooth Fairy and Easter Bunny and all that stuff doesn't exist. But subliminally, you realize your parents lie to you to give you a good time. I think most of us don't grow up psychologically scarred due to these things, but it's something to think about. Now, when it comes to doublespeak, which is sort of the advanced version of double standards, it's usually something that is spoken by a politician who will say two opposing things in the same statement. One of the most notorious ones this year was Bernie Sanders, yelling at Trump in a interview, saying that he should talk to his protesters and stop telling them to be so violent, even though they're paid for by George Soros on behalf of Hillary Clinton, wearing false Bernie paraphernalia to make Bernie look bad and to make Trump look bad. It's worked hook, line, and sinker with so many baby boomers and Gen Xers and millennials. And when they reminded Bernie, they said, well, they're your protesters behaving badly at Trump rallies, according to the official story. And then Bernice says, they go, well, why don't you tell them? Since they're your people. And he says, well, if I had to talk to all my people who are protesting badly, I'd never get anything done. So in one little paragraph of his speaking, he's got a double standard right in front of your face. And this is the guy that is running for president, willing to live in a double standard to serve himself and to make someone else look bad. Again, greed, part of greed is stepping on someone else's head to get ahead. And that's what he was trying to do. Politicians are caught constantly opposing themselves, right? And they don't admit they changed their minds. They simply say what you want to hear when you want to hear it. So you feel good. You forget why you feel good. You forget what they said. But you just remember that they made you feel good because they're one of your kind, because they pretended to be one of your kind, engaging a double standard mechanism of telling you what you want to hear and then never doing anything to help you in your lifetime. And we've allowed it to fester. And obviously, when you lie like that, it's called hypocrisy. So double standards fuel hypocritical moments in people. It fuels doublethink, doublespeak. And it's what political correctness is all about. And it's typically also fueled by some faux moral imperative. For instance, the recent immigration of Muslims into Europe is being fueled by a double standard. All of Europe and all of America, including Australia and New Zealand, have been conditioned to hate Muslims, to believe that Muslims are cutting the heads off of children, right? And hanging people and beheading people and all this other torturous stuff. They're supposed to let them in their home. I guess it's a page out of the Bible which is turn the other cheek. Well, now all of the pride that is Europe. You know, it used to be when Americans would go to France and in the 90s before 9/11, you know, the big story we'd always hear is how French people don't like Americans. And some of that stems from World War II when it appeared as if the French government immediately capitulated to Nazi Germany. Now, we think that the history reflects the fact that Hitler was supposed to take over France to protect them against a conventional invasion from Russia. All right. But now all that pride, the pride from Paris, has now taken it on the chin because nearly 50% of the country is on welfare of some sort, some social aid. And now they're taking on a new body of millions and millions of these immigrants from the Middle East, virtually none of from Syria, by the way. And they're sequestering streets and parks, and they're saying, we live here now. This is our land. And a matter of fact, we have a huge problem with your standards of living. We don't like the fact we can see your women as much as we do. We don't mind raping the shit out of them. We don't mind beating their faces in. And we don't mind thinning out your herd of gay people by chasing them down outside nightclubs and shooting them with guns, all of which has been going on for the last 5 years easy, much of which is on videotape, to be honest. And so Europe is spiting itself with a double standard. And America, we do it too. Our major faux pas in America is double standarding our freedom, giving it up constantly as long as there's a perceivable threat. So I pose this to you guys. For those of you who already do this, we're on the same page. For those of you who haven't thought about it in a while, how many times in the last 10 years of your life have you thought about doing something and you called it off because you felt a standard in your moral fiber that says, I simply don't do this kind of thing. Boy, I want to, man, but I don't do it. I think that that's something we need to give life to. We need to rebirth standards based on, if nothing else, your surname. Carry it like a badge of pride. Teach it to your children, because children love rules that are that forge a greatness in them. You know, I'm better than that bad behavior. doesn't mean you're not going to lose some along the way, because you will. You'll win some and you'll lose some, right? But a lack of trying, I think, is reprehensible. And it is going to be a battle. You're going to win some and you are going to lose some. And the only thing that we have to make sure that we do is we try to correct for it once we slip. You know, every single thing I've ever talked about in terms of improving yourself on this show has always come with an acceptable level of flexibility. You know, if I've talked about weight loss from time to time because I've definitely purged myself of a bad 20 pounds, right? You know, I'll still eat badly for a week and gain some weight, look at my face and go, damn, now I see it. Now I see the weight gain when it happens, but I'm not going to kill myself because I didn't abide by my own eating rules. I just go back into better eating and it all melts away. It's great. You know, sometimes you'll think, well, I should have worked out today. And you're like, well, I was really exhausted. It wouldn't have done anything for my body anyway. I just would have made myself tired without really putting, you know, protein in my muscles. And so you build a better week. You build a better couple days where you get up earlier every day and you get the chance to work out in the beautiful weather, wherever you are, in your living room, whatever it is, right? One of the most important double standards that's coming up here for Americans in 2016 is the election. And like I asked this guy, I said, you know, do you think America's going in the right direction? I could easily ask that any of my friends in Europe, is Europe going in the right direction? And they know it's not. They know it's not. The only person that would probably disagree is someone who has come into some recent wealth and thinks, wow, this is the greatest time to be alive, and good for them. Not take anything away from them. At the same time, that person needs to look at the health of their country and where they're going to spend their money and where they're going to live, depending on the health of their country. We have a lot of establishment people running for president in the United States of America. And for your indoctrinated, they love it because they feel like this is the way it works. There's a left and there's a right, and whoever gets elected must be within those two paradigms. And the more they smell like politicians, the more comforting they feel, or comforted that they feel. But all that means is that the status quo is going to continue. And socialism has failed globally. Globally. So that's probably not a very good standard to go into either, no matter what party someone's a part of. I'm not sure there's a person alive today that's not suffering in a way that they shouldn't be suffering. I'm not sure. And I would say that there are probably millionaires and billionaires who are suffering because they can't be legit. And they want to be. I think that there are citizens of this world who are fully willing to work but can't find work, and they're suffering. These people want to be educated but simply can't afford it, or what they're being taught doesn't have any value, and they're suffering, right? And it's this double standard mechanism that we have, this double think mechanism that we have, that is fueling all of this suffering. Because we don't seem to have standards anymore as individuals, and that we would then hive mind up into our group behavior. We're all just trying to get ours, right? A bunch of people in this world are just trying to survive. And I got friends of mine who are sweet people who sort of say derivatives of that without being right on point. And it's scary. And I think we need to heighten our awareness to it. So just to leave you with some food for thought. One, let's study ourselves. All right, remember I say there's three hemispheres of the universe that we live in as individuals, and it's the self, the family, and work. Within ourselves, let's figure out who we want to be. If you have a hero, whether they be fictitious or real, it doesn't matter. If what they are capable of doing is possible for you to do, then usurp that standard for yourself. It could be a John Wayne character that never existed. Usurp him for yourself, the good parts. And maybe you don't have to get too anal about everything. Maybe it doesn't have to be some Old Testament, you know, Ten Commandments level of perfectness. It's just, this is what we do and this is what we don't do. This is what I do and this is what I don't do. Doesn't mean you don't want to do it. You know, one of the biggest problems in America is fidelity. Someone gets married, especially if they get married early in life, and they realize perhaps they missed their 20s. Maybe even some people miss the latter part of their teens by raising children. God bless you for that sacrifice. You know, you probably just had the healthiest kids you could possibly ever have, and you probably got your life back a lot sooner. There are men who marry into these situations, and the marriages are fine. They have no problems. But as they become traveling businessmen, they meet other people, you know, they've grown away from who they were when they got married, so they're a different person. Perhaps the person they married didn't grow that far away from where they started. And so they're now two different people trying to reconcile their differences, trying to communicate their differences and patch up the relationship and keep going strong, which is what I recommend, of course. But some people, they're weak. And I have nothing against you, man. They're weak and they give in to temptation. They cross lines they would never cross. And it's not until they cross those lines they figure out that that's probably something they didn't want to do. Or maybe worse, they accept it and they try to smuggle it into their lives, right? A double standard. They're the great family man in front of all their friends and family, but behind the closed doors, they have something on the side. It happens. Sometimes it's well understood that that's the way it is and families are fine. I've heard about all kinds of cultures that move to America, and there are certain parts of the world, I guess you could call them races, that subdivisions of Caucasian, I should say, that having something on the side was something you were expected to do to keep the tension off your wife who was raising the kids, and there was the standards were that you never brought the girl around to your family. She never was invited to anything, and she knew that that was the case. She was never to push in. And today, most people wouldn't understand that standard, but I know people that were raised with that standard. Okay. As long as everybody's happy, I'm the last person to tell you not to do it. But this is where we have to make decisions. Now, for those that we elect as our leaders, and remember that CEOs of major companies that provide services that we have to, that we believe we have to ingest, we have to hold them to this standard as well. When the CEO of Nestle comes out and says that water is not an inalienable right of mankind, that this guy has the exclusive right, and other corporations that sell water have the exclusive right on selling you healthy water, most of which is fluoridated, is their inalienable right. Society should have rose up and demanded the resignation of that man with Nestle and made sure that any other CEO of a water company realizes that we as human beings believe that the substance that we need to exist more than food is protected, is an inalienable right. Probably shouldn't have a profit margin attached to it under any circumstance. Healthy, clean, filtered water with no fluoride should be a mandate of any restaurant that opens for business. You just have to buy the filtration systems. You have to provide good, clean water. You just have to. Maybe it's free. I know you feel me. You know, some of these shows, I just want to heighten a little tiny part of your existence. But I want you to look at other people now, especially the important people that run your world, and hold them up against the standards that you would hold for yourself and make sure that they are up to your standards. At the same time, I recommend that you realize that individuals are human. So if someone has a long-standing hypocritical existence in this world, like some of the candidates running for president of the United States, we should probably divorce ourselves from them. Mention this about them. Mention their behaviors to others who have standards as well to make sure that we realize that's not a candidate for our country. Now, again, most of us didn't have the internet chasing us around through our childhoods, through our teen years. We didn't have video cameras in our households and we had knockdown dragouts with our loved ones. And so we got a free pass. But now a lot of people who try to get into positions of leadership have the same past that we have, but they're exhibitioned in front of everyone. So we're going to have to select from the pool of human beings that we have created. And right now, the pickings are pretty slim on all fronts. So we got to pick the lesser of all evils. Again, all I can say is if you want change, let's pick the people that are going to make the most change. Because change is something we're all looking forward to. Trust me. If you haven't already been, go to mkultraradio.com. If you made it this far, thanks for listening. If you dig these videos, please subscribe. If you like this particular one, please press the like button. It just helps the organic search in YouTube cross-pollinate. Again, thank you everybody for coming on board. I'm going to try to make a couple of these shows at the same time. I'm going to be starting potentially a new gig here in the next couple weeks, and so my time to record these is going to diminish. But I should be able to crank at least one or two a week in just a little sitting here on a weekend. Okay, folks, like I always say, take care of yourself and someone else. Form those standards. Hold to those standards. Don't beat yourself up if you make a mistake, but let's try to get it right. Over now.
Is your Quran a Bible? To be a true MC, icon, an idol. The content you put in your songs are vital. Like training for the UFC, you want a title. Slam thoughts on a canvas, flip them and pen them. Metaphors, similes, and synonyms in them. Spit heat around the town, the more you get it heard. Till you spit at least 3,000 miles before it hit a curve. Then blood your rhymes in your rap pages. Word blades and punchlines and catchphrases. Deep sport for players and ballers, new game. Street talk straight off the corners, new slang. I got heat for crowds, for those that pursue it. Spinners, I show you flow to your boat, for through it. From social to free.